18878 and a Honda Civic sedan at 19688. Come see Gord at John North Ford and let's check them out.
Blessings from Emporia First United Methodist Church. I'm Pastor Ron Harris. God's offer of new life and new hope is always before us. Majesty revealed in the world around us and grace born into our hearts. In worship, we joyfully are reminded of God's love for us.
Hi, I'm Pastor Carla Sheppy. Join us on Sunday mornings at 8:15 and 10:35 for worship. At 10:35, you can also find us on KVOE Radio or live stream from our website. Emporia First United Methodist Church invites you to join us in sharing the love of Jesus Christ.
KVOE Live and Local, good morning, 8:22.
KVOE, 1400 AM and 96.9 FM, live and local. This is Newsmaker 2.
Our Newsmaker 2, the JNA Show, this morning brought to you by CareArc, healthcare without the headache. Formerly Flint Hills Community Health Center, that's CareArc.
No insurance? CareArc has you covered. Healthcare can be expensive, but with their sliding scale, your costs are discounted based off your income, regardless of your insurance status. They partner with local pharmacies to give you discounted prices on select medications. The discount program could save you thousands off the cost of your meds. No membership required. Simply get your medications prescribed by a CareArc provider, visit one of their contract pharmacies, and save. At CareArc, they believe healthcare should be affordable. Learn how you can save at CareArc.org.
8:24 on KVOE Live and Local. It is time not only for our Newsmaker 2 segment, but for the JNA Show here with Emporia Police Officers Jaffer Aga and Alec Ford joining us in studio here this morning. We were hoping to have City Communications Manager Christine Johnson. Sounds like she's on some other duties here, but we are launching the JNA Show here today. Jaffer, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing great. How are you doing?
So far, so good. Alec, good morning. How are you doing?
Oh, not too bad about yourself.
So far, so good. Yeah. So far, so good. We've got a lot of ground to cover here today. Jaffer, I think it's you wanted to kind of get started here with the changeover. We had J.T. Clarence as your wingman, sidekick, however you want to put it, for several months. Alec is now on board, and I guess this would be as good a time as any for you to introduce Alec and then let Alec introduce himself.
Oh, absolutely. So Alec has been with me working side-by-side for years now, coming up, what, on 6 years?
Seven
with the department.
Seven.
Nice. I'm a little jet-lagged. I've been back in country for about a day. I just came back from Spain for my brother's wedding, so
nice.
Forgive me if I'm a little tired.
Wow. Married in Spain, huh?
Yeah, a seven-hour time change there, and flying overnight was a little rough, but I'm back, ready to get back to work.
Sweet. And you joined us first thing.
Yeah,
and
I was like, I wasn't even supposed to be until 10 o'clock today, so I got called in a little early.
Wow, I feel special.
Yeah. Alex is great. Alex has been a phenomenal officer for our department for 7 years now, and he, a couple of years ago, made an investigations division. We have a program where we take patrol officers on loan to investigations, and they work either a 3- or 5-year tenure back there, really builds their experiences up with the more nuanced details of criminal investigations and following through on cases, and then they come back to patrol with that added experience and enrich the patrol division. So that's what Alec is doing right now. Usually you catch him wearing a suit and tie, running back and forth to the county court. Big job nowadays.
Gotcha. All right, Alec. Well, welcome again. I know you joined us last month for the program. Talk a little bit about what got you on the force.
So I was born and raised here in Emporia, lived here my whole life, loved it here, still do. When I graduated high school in 2011, went to ESU for a little bit. I started my law enforcement career at the Lyon County Sheriff's Office as a detention officer. Was there for 2 years, 2013. And then 2015 in August, I got hired here at Emporia PD. I grew up watching my dad do it, hearing his stories and seeing what he did for the community. I thought that was fun, so I thought I'd give it a try.
Oh, your dad was an officer, huh?
Yeah, he's actually a sergeant over at ESU right now, too.
So, okay.
Hey, he couldn't give it up. I think I'd missed it was Lieutenant Pat Ford when he left with us. I started here about 11 years ago now, a little over 11 years ago, and I just missed him taking off from the PD. But we have a legacy hire here with Alec.
Nice. I have to ask, was there one specific story that your dad told or maybe some of his buddies told that really kind of prompted you, or was it kind of the culmination of maybe years of it?
Just the years of it. And then, I said, hearing the stories and the camaraderie you guys we get here with, working with each other, all the men and women we work with, you can't beat this camaraderie. And so I thought I'd give it a shot, and It's been a lot of fun.
So you started with the detention center then at the sheriff's office.
Yes, sir.
What was that experience like?
It got me my foot in the door for law enforcement. You know, I was still kind of on the fence a little bit. Yeah, it gave me the correction side of it or whatever. So you ever want to see what goes on the streets, and then you don't always see what happens behind the scenes. So being able to see that really helped, I think, jumpstart my career. You get to know some of the officers, bring people in. And then you get to know some of the guys, people out there in the community, too. So
you've been in it a while, but is this everything you thought it would be, law enforcement?
Some of it, it's a bit of a culture shock sometimes when you first get in there. It's very overwhelming. There's a lot of training that goes into it, and you're still always training. And so it's a big eye-opener. You know, you don't think a whole lot goes around here but until you're actually in the mix of things. And so it's been a lot of fun.
And, mentioning going from corrections, did you go then once you got on the Emporia Police Force, go straight into patrol?
Yes.
Okay.
So, when you get hired on with EPD, we go through like a little mini academy, kind of show you around the department, how it operates. Then you go to the academy for 14 weeks at KLETC in Hutch. And then you come back here and do another 14-week stint with our training program. I think Augo was even one of my FTOs there for a short time. So you do that, you're with three or four different officers training different shifts. And then after that, you go on solo patrol.
That's one thing that law enforcement, I guess, across the board, just nationwide, is training after training after training. And it's a continuously changing experience. And so we have to stay up to date on any kind of new policy changes, new law changes, really culture changes as America changes. We have to adapt with it, obviously, to represent our people and our communities. So, I hear that the Kansas Law Enforcement Training Center is planning on extending their training time now from 16 weeks to 18 or 20 weeks, which is really more in line with nationally what we're seeing is longer training times.
So a lot of the bigger agencies like KHP, Topeka, or Wichita, they have their academies already 6 months anyway, just academy. Hmm. And then they do the on-the-field training, FTO training. So a lot of people, I don't know if they know, we do also like training, update on case law, different things that are evolving within the community. And so we're required by Kansas law to have at least 40 hours minimum of continuing education each year in law enforcement.
That's just to maintain our certification.
That's just to maintain our certification.
In 11 years, I don't think I've had anything less than double what the requirement is. And just because we have to hit certain trainings. There are certain requirements. Obviously, domestic violence policies and law updates are a mandatory training. We have our mandatory firearms qualification year after year. There's a hate bias training that we do annually. But then you find, especially after you've been here for a while, you start to get some more nuanced. I mean, I went to a week-long school to install car seats. And from there, we do those car seat check lanes and the Safe Kids program. And there's other things. The crisis intervention team I went to last year was another week-long school. And so just these one schools alone account for more than half of our annual training hours, if they're 25 to 40 hours just for the training itself. And we do several of those a year. So
yeah, that's diverse. You mentioned the child safety seats. That's quite extensive, too. A week-long training might not cover everything you need to know
it
for
really
that
isn't.
Either.
Yeah, and we have to update that every 2 years. We have to recertify as car seat technicians. And I had a couple kids when I went to the thing, and I didn't realize how wrong I was putting car seats in. And you wouldn't think that there was so much to learn about them, but especially with car seats, as a technician, you have to learn all the different kinds of car seats that you may or may not personally own, and then all the different vehicles and orientation setups for them.
Well, that Safe Kids program is a wonderful thing, and you offer many opportunities during the year to do safety kids seat checks and installs for people, and I really encourage folks to be listening and stay on social media to find out where these checkpoints will be. They normally start in the spring, run through the summer, don't they?
Yeah, we try to get at least two of them in a year, and then those are just the mass events that we do. You can always come to the sheriff's office or the police station and get like call ahead and set up an appointment. You'll get a couple of us at the police station that are technicians, and we will meet with you there and do that. If you need a car seat, reach out to me. I'm in charge of the program right now, and I've got several. We're going to get a new shipment here not too long, but I still have several to give out if people need them. I know that new parents, the hospital has several technicians trained on their staff, and they help. Before you leave, they'll make sure that your seats are all in order. And a lot of people come to me before they give birth and have us set it up before they go. So
makes sense. Alec, I wanted to loop back to you because you're in investigations now. What got you interested on the investigative side? And how is that – or I guess maybe how does your – previous experience with patrol and corrections help you with the investigations now?
So part of our investigative unit, we have five people. We have three full-time detectives, two investigators, and two narcotics officers. The two investigator spots are rotating positions. Mm-hmm. So that they're 3 and 5 year slots. If you don't promote to detective or something else, then you go back to patrol and take your experience back to investigations.
Gotcha.
It got me interested in that just because I felt I just wanted to see that side of the job, see how that side of the department operates. They work. They're not on the street in patrol in uniform. They sit behind. They follow up on major cases that patrol takes additionally, a lot of felonies, major felonies, your burglaries, the occasional shooting we get every once in a while, major cases, a lot of sexual crimes, rapes, and all child sex crimes and stuff like that. We follow up on those that patrol doesn't have a whole lot of time to do follow up with or investigate because they're busy fielding calls in the on the street. And then I said, so we take that experience as investigators back to patrol if we don't promote or whatever and go, you know, try to show people how that side of the department operates. Because a lot of new guys, like especially me for the first couple of years, I had no idea what kind of went on. Because especially if you work nights, you know, you don't see a lot of people during the day. So
right.
it's been a lot of fun. It's been very interesting. And I've had a lot of help back there with the senior guys back there that have showed me, you know, helped me with my interview skills, report writing, investigative skills, crime scene investigation. It's been a lot of fun.
On the back end, a lot of people see, you know, watch the procedurals for Lord knows how long, and it's all about the action on the street. Mm-hmm. And there's very little time that's spent on the report side of things to make sure that everything, you know, can progress maybe over to the courthouse or, you know, wherever to resolve your cases. But how much time are you spending on the side that people don't pay attention to?
Quite a bit. Like I said, we'll do an investigation that may, I mean, we're going back and forth looking at security video, interviewing witnesses and suspects and victims, and then one person tells us this one thing, so we got to go back and interview somebody else. And that could take, you know, 3 or 4 days or weeks at a time. And then by the time you're done with that, you actually got to go back and type all that out. So now you're looking at another, you know, several days worth of typing by itself. So it
takes several days.
Several days, depending on the case, yes.
Yeah. I assume. Obviously, that's very important because if a report is messed up, the case can get messed up, right? I mean, that's...
Oh, absolutely. I mean, the accuracy requirements are insane. Do you remember when we had the card skimmer issues in the fuel pumps here?
Okay, about 2-3 years ago?
That case took... it was Investigator Porter Barrick, who's since retired, which might have been the tipping point for him. It was months and months of work going through that. And I think the case really originated out of state with these people who were putting skimmers in. I think we traced it all the way back to, like, Nevada. But he had – I can't tell you how many gigabytes of documents of individual losses for our community members to financial transactions, bank records, the credit card databases, all of this. I mean, just – I mean, the paperwork would fill this room up with how much he had gone through. And some cases like that, financial crimes can just be extensive, months and months of investigations to complete it. And it's really the real work in the police department is done in the back rooms. You see us on the street, and those are typically rather short. I mean, we can spend 8-10 hours on a crime scene in a major case, but then you're talking hundreds of hours devoted to it, man hours, with just the follow-up investigation.
Well, yeah, everything has to be – detailed, and you know, you have defense attorneys that are looking for any opening they can get to pick anything apart, and they
keep us on our toes, and that's a good thing, I think, for everyone. One, it keeps us honest and accurate, and
sure.
it improves the quality of our work the more criticism we receive, and that's not a bad thing. And I don't want to kind of emphasize that. You know, one, you have a critical duty to preserve innocent until proven guilty, and then so that high bar of proof beyond a reasonable doubt should remain, and that we should be striving to reach that every time.
It helps us make sure we're doing our job the right way, not violating anybody's rights. And then with court, I'm in court a little bit more now back there, mm-hmm. and so the questions I get asked on the stand help me in the field too, because like some of the questions I get asked on the stand, well, I didn't ask that. I got to go follow up on that.
Right.
Or the county attorney's office they'll see something in our report like, hey, can you follow up on this issue for this case? And then that's more of what we do back there too.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up because you do spend a lot of time in court, you know, on cases, and you have to take the stand. Is there a lot of preparation that goes into that before you testify, as far as knowing what you've got in those reports specifically? And because that could be quite extensive, I would think.
Oh, yeah. Depending on the case, the county attorney's office will give us a call, whoever's prosecuting, try to set up a meeting or whatever to go over our report, make sure we know it, and then it might be like, hey, I'm going to ask about this, 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 and this. Just make sure you're ready. Stuff like that.
Okay.
Gotcha. Yeah, the standard really is memorizing what we've written down.
Yes.
And everything about the case. And when you submit a 20-page affidavit to the county attorney's office, keeping all that is in your mind is pretty tough. But he's right. We grow ourselves based on the feedback we get in court as well. I mean, I can't tell you how many additional questions I start asking during interviews based on what I've been asked on the stand.
Yeah. It's the J&A show here on the KVU Morning Show with police officers Jaffer Aga and Alec Ford joining us in studio. Jaffer, I know we'll shift off of that particular side of things here for both of you. You wanted to talk more about the PIO team here and also kind of as an extension of that, social media.
Yeah. So for years we've had public information officers, is what PIO is. And when Captain Hayes, our investigations captain, was the administrative sergeant, she was running all that public information herself. And when when Captain Mattis took over that position, he expanded it and offered a lot of officers the opportunity to come into that fold and grow ourselves as well. You know, JT, when he was here with us on the show, he was part of that team. I've been on it. We've had several others that kind of rotated in and out, kind of finding if it's the right feel for them. And you know, right now we have Alec over here, myself. There's a couple other officers that we'll try to bring on the show here and there. They do a lot of the other stuff as well. The community outreach is more of their emphasis at those events that you'll see, like the Keep It Safe Summer or going downtown during the Great American Market and just that reach out. And so, but keeping the public informed, I think, is critically important for us. That's who we are responsible to, right, is our community here. And having them know what we do and why we do it. And the city itself has updated our website. If anyone has been on EmporiaKS.gov, all of our email have changed. So if you're still emailing us on the old Emporia-Kansas.gov, you got to update that. But I would suggest going and checking out our website. If you go to the police tab, you can see we've got our policies in place. So they're open for the public to view, which really puts us in line with what other agencies are doing. And it's good that you can see what our responsibilities are. It kind of helps you understand when we show up to your home, if you call us, that what we're doing, why we're doing it, if we don't have the time to explain in nuanced detail everything that we're doing. But we'll try our best for that as well as time allows. But the whole website, just in general, the city clerk's page, you can get a hold of all the permits associated with things, your house renovations, the livestock applications, everything like that. It's very accessible now. And for the PIOs, it is, I think, helping us with our job as well.
I was going to ask if you've seen some early returns on the new website format, the layout here over the last couple of weeks since that was rolled out.
Well, I mean, I've been gone for about a week, but prior
you might
to
not be
that,
the right person to ask.
Prior to that, we are seeing, we used to field a lot of calls like, what is the city's law for this or for that? And now these questions are easily answered. If you don't want to interact with an officer on the phone, you can go look it up at your own pace.
All our city laws or city ordinances are on this website too. Like you said, our policies and procedures are on there, so you can understand what we're doing and why we're doing it. But still, feel free to call us if you need. Excuse me. If you have any questions, still feel free to call us, and we'll be happy to talk to you.
And we think it's absolutely vital to get that information out to the public as well.
Yeah.
And it's several social media platforms as well. We're on Facebook. If you haven't liked us yet on Facebook, go ahead and do that. I think we recently got a TikTok page as well, kind of help with recruiting and stuff like that too. So,
right.
We're always accepting new applications, not just with this Emporia Police Department, any city position. You can also apply online at this new website see what's available.
Now with the TikTok.
We're glad we have a good working relationship with our
absolutely
local law enforcement and personnel.
With
at least we think we do.
Oh, absolutely. That's why we keep coming back.
With TikTok, what's kind of the status report on that because of what happened with the governor's announcement and specifically TikTok off of cell phones? Is that still steady as she goes right now, at least for what you've been told?
I mean, we're adapting to any kind of changes here. JT was really, really popular on TikTok. Even prior to becoming an officer, he had a large presence, and he grew that for our department. and as well as his personal usage. But now we have our own that's going to be owned and operated by the police department. And so we're using that, and that's really to reach out to a different demographic. I mean, we're seeing Facebook has its own particular demographic. It started with college students. I think when I got onto it, in 2005, you had to have a college email address to even access it. Now it's open to everybody, and the demographic on it has shifted. And it's really an older generations that are using it. And so Instagram and Twitter and TikTok are really hitting different things. And so we're trying to be multi-platformed here so that we can reach everybody, because everyone deserves to know what we're doing, why we're doing it. And just TikTok, I think, is a bit of an emphasis. It's wildly popular. And it allows for good information transmission in, what, a three-minute or less formats.
And some fun sometimes, right?
It can be very fun, you know. Yeah. It's a good source of entertainment, and some great agencies have used it as a way to reach a younger generation as well.
So you still in recruitment mode to get more police officers on board at
the department? We have so many new hires right now. We're sending people to the academy every time there's an opening at this point. You're seeing a lot of new faces on the street, and that's when you see the two-man or two officers in a car. It's most likely going to be someone in training.
It may look like there's a lot of officers on scene for something minor or what seems minor, but a lot of that might be because two people are a one-man unit because they have a rookie with them.
And that's a comment we field a lot. I mean, I'm a training officer, and when you have two training officers show up with two new hires – and for a minor call, and we usually send two to a call, right? That's going to be just typical officer safety. We have two people there. And now there's four, and you think it's a pretty minor issue. Like, why is there so many police officers here? It's like, well, hold on. We've got some in training here. We're not, like, you know, wildly afraid of you or what's going on here. This isn't a major issue. Understand that we're trying to get our new officers experienced and trained up for you so that when they're on their own, they're fully capable of handling any issue.
Yeah, and one of those hires, too, is one that's I think a lot of people have been desiring for a while, and that's a new animal control officer.
I know that wasn't goodness, part animal of our control. It's just, I mean, for how many years have we been absent of animal control?
Right.
And we as patrol officers have been fielding those animal calls when we can, and we just don't have the same resources. We can't fit all that animal gear in our patrol cars and keeping all of our regular police gear. So it is absolutely phenomenal that we've hired Chaney as our new animal control officer. I'm going to try to have her on one of these shows here. We can talk about animal control. Which is something the community has been asking for years. But we're hoping to see an uptick in just the usage of our animal control officer. And people have been kind of hesitant to call things in because of the, let's just say, lackluster response from animal control that police officers can provide. It's just not our forte. And so now we have someone specially trained in that. That's their entire job. They don't have to worry about other calls.
And she can really be overwhelmed, too, because you're right. The number of calls and the number of animals and pets that are in the community.
There's a feral cat for every person in Emporia, it seems. You drive around at night, and they're just everywhere.
Yep.
Incredible. Yeah, that's a positive. That's a positive hire there. So as far as the training, the officers, I would assume then demographically within the department, pretty youthful?
This is a very young department now. Like I've said a few times, I'm the most senior patrol officer, and I've been here for just over 11 years. And when I started, there were 20-year vets here and there and a lot in between, you know, the new guy. But we are seeing a lot of younger faces, and I think it's important for the community to keep in mind that inexperience. Well, you've got a lot of experienced officers, and we always have the experience with the investigations division to fall back on and our administrative staff. There's going to be a huge amount of learning that goes on in the next year. And while we're not going to allow that to diminish our police services, do understand that there might be times where you ask a question to an officer and they truly just don't know, and they'll have to get back with you. They might have to consult with a more experienced officer about things.
That's well said. How many positions do you have that are, I guess, open right now that would make you guys feel comfortable about the full force? Or are you pretty close to where you would like to be with the new hires that you have?
I think we're pretty close. It's just getting them out of training first. Like gotcha. I said, that first year you're still constantly training even after you get out of that first phase. But, I mean, that entire first year between the academy and then coming back here, like that six to 12 months, you're doing nothing but training until you're on your own.
So, yeah, I was going to say, how long before you get to fly solo, so to speak?
I mean, some of that, there's a little bit of a delay because we have a 14-week training process as well as a 14-week academy. Which might increase in duration as well. But then if we hire them and there's a time between hire date and the first academy class that we can get them into, so put 8 months on top of whatever we can get them into the academy, And then even then, we're still showing up. Senior officers are going to still show up to these new officers' calls when they're solo patrol to kind of help guide them as well. Honestly, I would say, and not to say that they're useless for the first year, but they are still gathering the on-the-job information in that first year. So we hired a lot at last fall and even into the beginning of this year. So 2023, there's going to be a lot of growth in our department.
But I think we could still use one or two like fill positions or sure. whatever. Like I said, we still got a lot of people in training, but hopefully here soon we'll get some relief for sure.
And we're still taking applications at the moment.
Youth equals energy. Come on, doesn't it?
I mean, they are some go-getters out there. I'll give them that. They haven't had the years behind them to slow them down yet. So,
well, that is good. So, Alec, your mom's still here in town?
Yes.
Does she work at a bank?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, she's an ESB Financial?
Yes, sir.
Indeed. Yeah. Love your mother?
Yeah, she's pretty great.
She really is.
Phenomenal lady.
I appreciate it. Yeah, she's pretty awesome.
Yeah, and she does a great job of helping out with all kinds of stuff at ESB. And with our drive for food every year, she's kind of the point person there at ESB Financial. She has been for many years.
Oh, yeah.
And
yeah, she's a real people person. She loves talking to people, being out there and stuff like that. So she really enjoys it.
Yeah, and she's real proud of you, too. I know that.
I hope so.
Oh, we all are.
I appreciate it.
Well, that's good. Good show, guys.
Good deal. Yeah. Guys, thanks so much for joining us. Anything that you have in mind maybe for either that we haven't covered that you want to or maybe some teasers that you have maybe in mind for next month's program?
Just a heads up, the start of next week, we got a Lyon County League tournament down at the Civic Auditorium, so expect traffic to be pretty heavy downtown if you're traveling. Just be patient, especially with parking if you have somewhere to be or need to work down there, whatever. You might leave a little early in the morning. Just make sure you got a spot if you want one. I said, just be patient.
And parking fills. I mean, it's a problem for us employees too. We have to share parking with all these tournament goers.
So, just be mindful. Expect traffic to pick up pretty heavily downtown this next week.
Good deal. Sounds good.
We do want to urge our community to shoot us topics, questions that they'd like to see covered. Either on our Facebook platform, our TikTok platform. They can call us directly and mention things. Call into you guys if they want to talk about things. This is your show. We're here as guests. You surely bring up topics that you want us to cover as well. You have your own particular ear to the ground that maybe we don't hear about for certain things. And just be glad to have you as our community members here. Just glad to have you guys give us some feedback on what you want to hear. I'd like to bring animal control in next time. It's going to be wholly dependent on her schedule, what she's able to do.
Yeah.
Any of these new hires that aren't at the academy yet, I'd like to come in, bring them on, introduce them, let our community know who they are and what they're about.
Sounds like a plan.
Love to have them.
And speaking of Lyon County League, just so you know, and I'll put it on the calendar here, we do have Ted Vanocker, who's going to be our newsmaker guest Monday morning here at 7:20.
Perfect.
We'll talk about that in more detail. Guys, thanks so much for joining us here today. Can't wait to have you guys back in studio next month.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
Yeah, great job. Our Newsmaker 2 brought to you this morning by CareArc, healthcare without the headache, formerly Flint Hills Community Health Center.
Possible charges in the Rust movie set shooting could come at any time. Prosecutors in New Mexico expected to say whether actor Alec Baldwin or someone else is criminally responsible or not for the killing of cinematographer Helena Hutchins using a prop gun loaded with live rounds.
There's no evidence that this was intentional. This was clearly an accident, but perhaps a criminal accident.
District Attorney Mary Carmack Alt-Weiss, a looming deadline over the $31 trillion debt ceiling.
The Treasury Secretary has warned that the United States will hit its debt limit today. This is the amount of money that the U.S. is able to borrow to pay off past debt. And all of this really intensifying a political battle between Democrats and Republicans. Republicans say they will not raise the debt limit until the president agrees to spending cuts. The White House says this needs to be done with no conditions around it.
ABC's Rachel Scott. President Biden will tour California. California storm damage and recovery efforts today. At least 20 people killed.